Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
We don't set internal timelines with these guys. Today, Adley hit off the tee. It was positive. I think from there, he progressed to some sit-down overhand is what he told me. I don't think he swung it 100%. There's no pain, there's no soreness, but we got to kind of see how he wakes up tomorrow. He's 35 years old. He's adapting to a complete new schedule. I think inevitably there was going to be a little bit of a lull for him. You know, there was going to be some struggles at some point. The league was going to get information on him at some point. And I think it just comes down to him kind of making the next adjustment. Nobody's been happy this year with how this has gone. I mean, we're not happy to be 10 games under 500 and not being in necessarily at the front of the playoff race right now. So there's guys in there that are kind of fighting for their lives and fighting for the team. He got on the mound yesterday. I think it went okay. Went back out, played catch today, felt great. So I think he's probably, you know, trending in the right direction, some ups and downs and things like that. But feels like everything's probably in line at the moment.
That's Tony Manzalino. Yesterday afternoon before the washout, Oriole Park Camden Yards, Birds taking on the Mets, scheduled 7 o'clock game on ESPN. Big old national TV extravaganza. But unfortunately, as we said during the show, Mother Nature was going to win. Not the Orioles, not the Mets. It was going to be Mother Nature. And you can never piss off Mother Nature. So the Orioles, at the time, were still planning on getting that ball game in. So Manzo met with the masses. I was fortunate enough to be there. Cordell was there. Cordell's the one that asked the question about the vibes of the team. Fighting for their lives, their playoff lives. And also understanding that the trade deadline is looming here in a few weeks. And a lot of guys that have a locker next to you might not have one, because things are going to be a fluid situation for the Orioles trying to remain relevant here for a possible playoff berth 2025. But we also heard Tony Manzalino talking about Grayson Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, Vinny, and Nolan, of course. Total Request Thursday, Vinny and Haney. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Get on in. 410-583-1057. Orioles got a doubleheader. But as he's talking about Grayson Rodriguez, and he's saying, Tony Manzalino, all the things, I was not feeling.
No.
Not at all. 0.0. Plutarski, when you throw in the word okay.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Adley, you heard him talking about Adley. You know, yeah. He's treading all right. He's swinging. He's running. Adley himself met with the media before the game, and he couldn't put a circle date on when he's coming back, but he feels better, no pain. But when you have that oblique, I guess some days you wake up fine, and then you try to hit a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and reality sets in. Who knows? Gunnar Henderson still hasn't, maybe, not trying to say he's hurt, recovered from what he suffered down in spring training. But with Grayson Rodriguez, and Grayson himself stressed it's the lat, which he's had three lat injuries that have shut him down. He was supposed to come up, if you remember, in the middle of 22. Then suffered the lat injury when he was the number one pitching prospect in all of baseball. Not some made-up Orioles stuff. These were the Keith Laws, the Kylie McDaniels, the scouts. He was the number one pitching prospect and was dealing like that. Then the lat came out of nowhere. And I remember Elias going, kind of a setback, because he was really on the verge of getting up here. Then he came back late in the season. But then 23, he was part of the Oriole team that won the division, took his lumps, got sent back. Dealt with some issues there. And then last year, he had double-digit wins in July. And then coming up on about a year ago, it was late July. I don't know the exact date. I think it was like 28th or 29th. That injury shut him down for the season. Came back in spring training, right? Was throwing. We were on the air when he was pitching. And then, he's out after two innings, whatever it was. And then Nolan went a little more detailed in. I'm just looking at the box score at the time. Velo was down to like 91, 92 when he was cranking it up to like 98. And then Rodriguez himself had said, I'm not going to max effort because let's save some of these bullets for the regular season. And come to find out, he was hurt. And then it was like, oh, then there's the forearm strain, elbow talk, and all of this craziness that went along with it. Bottom line is, that was March, April, May, June, July. We're 4 months past that. And it still doesn't seem as though he's going to be pitching anytime soon. But if we try to mind meld with Tony Manzolino, or at least, you know, I'm looking at his face sitting there, it's like he went, oh, he's cool. You know, you can tell when it's an optimistic.
Right. Yeah.
He was just kind of like, it's okay. One day he's all right. Next day, Vinny, if I'm a betting man, we ain't seen it.
Let me ask you this, Bob, and I totally agree. And you saw his facial expressions, like you said, just from listening to him, you know, no way, yeah. You know, because he was not confident.
Yeah, the eyes didn't go boing. Oh, yeah. Oh, it was cool, man.
Like, if they're selling and they're still 10 games out, Bob, why would you bring him back? I mean, just get him totally healthy.
100% agree. Nolan, get in here and, you know, with Grace Rodriguez, upside wise. Of every pitcher on this staff, he's got the most talent. There's a reason for 2 years. He was the number one pitching prospect in baseball. Drafted as a high schooler. First round out of Texas by Dan Duquette. Here's your parting gift, Mike Elias. But if you're a betting man, do you want your guy that still has that number one or number two level potential to pitch it all this year? If it really isn't necessary for that to happen, unless you just want to get a little rust off that thing.
Well, that's why I do think it is necessary. And I do want to see him pitch. Okay. Personally, just need to see it again. Like, it's been way too long. Need to, one, make sure he still exists. Two, that he still has some semblance of an arm. And maybe, you know, he's teasing again some tweaks and adjustments to the delivery to maybe, I don't know. He said the same thing in spring training.
Right.
It wasn't anything you could see with the naked eye. So who knows what it's going to be this time around. But I just hope it works. And if he comes back, he doesn't have to pitch every fifth day. You can put him on any schedule you want. Like Vinny said, if you're out of it, season doesn't matter. You make up the rules for yourself. And who knows what the rotation's going to look like anyway. Others coming back from injury. Bradish mainly. He doesn't have to pitch every fifth day. But I still want to see it. I don't think it does you any good to just close up shop, sit on your hands and say, all right, we're waiting until spring training next year. And I don't think Grayson or Bradish would agree with that either. I mean,
Tyler,
I think
Wells, too.
Throw him in there, too.
They're going to want to. I mean, a player wants to play, you know, and the only reason to have him pitch in his mind, confidence wise, you know, that, hey, I got a couple outings in. That would be one. But what if he tweaks it again?
But how reluctant is he going to be, Grayson, we're talking about, to air one out?
Right.
100 miles an hour. Right. I try to ramp up and ba-boom.
Well, if it's not September this year, he's going to have the same conversation in his
sooner
own
or later
head next spring.
Yeah, you're right.
You're throwing. So, I mean, let's just get it going as soon as possible.
But if the Orioles are out of it, which we expect they will be, let's be honest, I think all rules should apply. Like, Bradish looks like he could be pitching in a month. And Wells isn't that far behind him. And like you just said, Nolan, I mean, if Bradish wants to get a couple starts in just to get those competitive juices flowing, maybe feels as though he's letting his team down, whatever it is. Okay, but it's not a situation where he's got to hit the post every fifth day. So now get your sea legs back under you. See you in Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
And I think the conversation would have been even more interesting had Sagano and Eflin maintained their strong start to the season and were still very strong trade candidates, where we were putting them right next to Ryan O'Hearn as almost a guarantee to be gone at the deadline. Well, now you're creating vacancies in a rotation that's really just been completely thrown together at the last second all year. At that point, you just need bodies. So even if it isn't every fifth day, yeah, I mean, come on down. Chase McDermott, throw him in the pile, too, if he's able to get healthy. You know, I mean, anyone who's able should be out there.
And I would say the same with Adley. Don't hurry him back. Make sure he's 100%, you know. And if it takes an extra, like when he says, yeah, I feel pretty good, I'd give him another week. You know, just make sure that, because I don't need you to get hurt. It doesn't matter right now, just for your confidence to come back and get some at-bats.
Let's make mid-August through September a tease for what 2026 could be. Because Basayo and Adley are going to have to coexist. And O'Hearn's probably going to be gone after the trade deadline. So bring Basayo up, let him play first. If Adley's not ready to rock and roll, then you go with Jackson and you go with the Stallings. I mean, Hanley's still coming back from the concussion thing that obviously has been pretty severe because it's been 3 weeks, I believe, since that happened at Yankee Stadium. But maybe August, middle through the end of September, if it's got to be September 1st, whatever. Let that be a little preview of what 2026 Baltimore baseball could look
and
like.
And Bob, if it doesn't matter, let Basayo catch. Yeah. Let him get work.
Badly can't. Oh, I still throw him behind the dish, too.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. But
let him get work with, you know, all the pitchers that are going to be there for next year.
But if Badley's up, he'll be your catcher. Because Sanchez is gone for 2 months. Probably longer than that. Let's get rolling, man.
Yeah, maybe the biggest detriment with this Adley injury stuff and the delay to call up Basayo will be not really having a clear idea of how you're going to handle both of them on the roster. Ideally, earlier this year, I envisioned a pretty smooth transition into August and September where they're both on the roster and we're figuring out who's playing first and who's behind the dish. How can we get them both in the lineup on a almost daily basis? And now it's looking like you're probably not going to be able to figure that out this year. You're going to go into spring training next year still having that question in your mind. And I don't know if they're going to be able to answer it as soon as we hope they are. Same with the pitchers. I mean, that's also why I want to see Grayson and all the others because, hey, Mike Elias, pay attention here. I mean, really, you should be – you're adding pitching anyway. We know that. They need pitching help. That's not changing whether guys were healthy or not. But I feel like if they just pack up shop with Grayson, say, take it to spring training next year, he's going to say the same thing he did last year. Grayson's our number one. Yeah. We're leaning on him. He's all we need. He's all we have. You know, he's our guy. We don't need to add an ace because Grayson's our ace.
I would trust that he knows that there's a bigger picture scenario than just that.
I would have thought the same last year, but I'm with you.
No doubt. All right, Orioles lineup today against the Mets. 12:05 first pitch. Of course, last night's game got postponed. Jackson Holliday, second base. Jordan Westberg, your DH. Ramon Laureano, left field. Tyler O'Neill is cleaning up in right field. Ramon Arias, third base. Colton Cowser in center field. Luis Vasquez, the Shohei Ohtani of the Orioles. He's at shortstop. Kobe Mayo, he's at first base. Jacob Stallings is behind the dish. No Gunner, no O'Neill, but it is a lefty on the mound, even though Gunner's been wearing out left-handed pitching. David Peterson, Charlie Morton's on the hill for the Orioles, trying to showcase his stuff for his next team, because I'm guessing Charlie Morton will be getting traded here in the next couple of weeks at the trade deadline. And who would have thought 2 months ago that Charlie Morton would even be on the Orioles, much less be a guy that they're going to dangle at the trade deadline?
Bob, it's kind of shocking. I mean, why no Gunner?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's just 22. I mean, you know, I mean...
Well, if he ain't playing in the second game, then something's going on. Yeah. Anyway, we'll come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057, give you the Mets lineup as well. Orioles trying to win the series if they can sweep the doubleheader today. Ravens talk's coming your way as we're less than 2 weeks away from training camp 2025. And Derek Queen's going to make his NBA Summer League debut today for the Pelicans to the Tampa Bay Rays. This is Murray from Fansided, Robert Murray and John Heyman, Ken Rosenthal, all confirming, Rockabaco and everyone that covers the Orioles, Rich Dubraw for the assembled masses have already spoken to Baker about said trade. Brian Baker leaves Baltimore for Tampa for a competitive balance pick. Let's see. Rays acquiring Brian Baker from Orioles for O's competitive balance pick. Number 37 overall. That doesn't make sense.
No,
it's the Rays pick.
Yeah. So 19, 30, 31, and 37 now is what the Orioles have for next week's draft. The draft is what, Monday or Sunday? 13th. Yeah, Sunday. So Nolan McGraw, first glance, full disclosure, we were talking off the air you know, you're on the other side of the glass and all that fun stuff. But I'm cool with it. What about you?
Well, I'm stunned, first and foremost. I mean, look, you're dealing a guy that still has 3 years of arbitration here. And is that the end-all, be-all? No. But for a guy like Baker, who, you know, all right, he's 30 years old. But I think for a reliever, he's had four seasons in the majors of somewhat substantial innings. We'll say that. Three of the four have been, I would consider it, good. And this year, you could argue in some ways, having a career year.
Yep.
Now, it's unfortunate his last memory here with Baltimore is, you know, blowing a game against the Mets. But still, that was one of the lone mistakes for him this year. He would have been a guy that I had penciled in for next year as a part of the bullpen, at least coming out of spring training, his job to lose, so to speak. You were going to overhaul this bullpen, I would have thought, in the first place. So now you have another hole to fill. I think it's interesting. The fact that they sought a draft pick instead of a player package is also interesting to me. And instant reaction, I feel like that tells me that Elias is very high on this year's class. You got to be. I mean, if you're stockpiling picks, you got seven in the top 100 now, you must really like this year's class.
Well, certainly where they lie in the draft, right, they feel as though they're helpable guys. Is helpable a word?
I mean, I was listening to Jim Duquette on the morning show this morning, and he was talking about how the draft is not that good. You know, like pitching-wise, there's a lot of fours. And, you know, you got to take a lot of high school kids in the top 15 because there's not a lot of bats in college baseball. So I don't know. But the thing about it is, Bob, I mean, you make that deal if because I'm guessing Tampa called the Orioles and they said, hey, we'll give you, you know, the 37th pick. And then I tell you what, that is not a bad deal for somebody like you were saying, Bob, that wasn't even on, you know, got cut and everything else.
Yeah, he was with Toronto and the Orioles. He was one of these dumpster diving moves that Elias made that turned out to be fruitful for sure. Let's be honest. We go back to mid-February, we weren't even projecting him to be on the opening day roster. Kittredge got hurt. Other circumstances took place. He pitched his ass off. So congratulations to him.
Yeah.
I mean, is it a game changer for the Orioles? Takes away a high leverage guy. And with Cano scuffling, who's already been sent back to the minors to work things out. I mean, this definitely indicates, and to your point, trading away a guy controllable, we're in sell mode. And with that loss, we say yesterday, let's see.
That was the gut punch for me yesterday.
Yeah, but it was like, add him to the list.
No doubt. Because we hadn't even added himself. Baker.
His name kind of, I'm floored, stunned, to your point, with the trade, but I'm not losing.
I mean, there wasn't, his name wasn't even mentioned in a fake rumor,
right,
let alone a real rumor this year. So this came out of nowhere. Again, I'm not attached to him like he's a future Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Or he's a cornerstone piece of this team. I just thought with the volatility, of your bullpen, he's shown to be somewhat reliable this year. Would have leaned on him going into next year, given him a chance to work his way out of it. But if this is truly selling high on him, I don't know. Anytime I'll tell you this. Anytime it's the Rays, and this was my actual first reaction, pulling it up on the computer, because you just said Brian Baker got traded. I pulled it up. I see it's the Rays. I said, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. Anybody but the Rays. Why is it always the Rays? If the Rays are calling me about one of my players, I'm getting suspicious, because they're the ones that have all the magic sauce when it comes to identifying pitching. They always find these diamonds in the rough, or they always get the good pitching from other people. They restock, they retool. And usually it's a prospect that you don't know about. It's a guy who hasn't cracked the majors yet. No-name guy, and then in a couple years, he's a Cy Young candidate. So maybe this is different because Baker's a little more established. But I get a little uneasy when you're trading within the division, even more uneasy when it's the Rays.
Hey, well, let's wait 3 years, see what number 37 turns out to be.
Yep.
The other exciting part, that instead of getting two or three guys who we have no idea who they are, and we have to pretend that, you know, oh, this guy, you know, hit 10 homers in single A last year.
Now we get to pick who we want.
Right, we get instantly, right there, we get an instant gratification.
So Brian Baker is traded to the Tampa Bay Rays, and he told the media being an Oriole was everything to him, but now he's in playoff contention. Yeah. Unlike the Orioles, who right now 7.5 out of the wild card. If you're on the phones, we'll get you next. 410-583-1057 is the number. Tony Pentee, OrielsHangout.com, 11 o'clock. And talk about this trade with Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, at 11:30 is the Birds and Mets doubleheader coming up at 12:05. Just tuning in. Give you the Oriole lineup again. No Gunner, no O'Hearn. It is a lefty for the Mets, and we'll give you New York's lineup as well. For the Mets, Nimmo in left, Lindor shortstop, Soto right field, Alonso at first, Winker, not Fonzie, Winker's DH, Mauricio is at third. Remember, he went deep the other night. Torrens is behind the plate. Beatty's at second, and Taylor is in center field in support of David Peterson, 6-4 with a 3.18. Hey, ground ball pitcher, 92-93 on the gun, but one of these crafty lefty. Well, anybody throws left-handed for the most part usually gets the Birds, but the Orioles have shown a pulse as of late. All right, let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Ryan in Baltimore. Ryan, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. All right.
I got to say, a little blindsided by the Brian Baker pick. I thought he was actually kind of a bright side in our bullpen. I'm not, you know, saying that it's a make or break kind of player, but I thought if we didn't get O'Hearn in the All-Star game, I actually could have seen Baker being our write-in from the pitching side just to have our representative. But anyway, this is what I wanted to talk about before the pick was today is one of the most important parts of the year, this doubleheader. If you win both, you get to 8 games under 500, and you leave with a series win better than when you started the series. If you split or if you lose both, you're either in the same exact spot or you have a 4-game swing and you're 12 games under 500. If that's the case, then I don't see any reason why we should be having hope. I know PT's behind me probably, and he's going to say that we still got a chance. But the fact is if we split or lose both today, there is a complete sell mode, and there shouldn't be a glimmer of hope in that front offices. I think that if that's the case, I need to see Mayo playing every day. I need some of our young prospects to come up, especially pitching prospects, so they get more experience, and I want to see some guys get more consistent playing time.
Well, I think, Ryan, today's trade gives you an idea that it is kind of sell mode, and if they sweep and they're 8 games out, then we'll lament not sweeping the series. It'd be 7 games off the pace. So I hear what you're saying. If they get swept, I mean, they're done now. Let's be honest. We like to keep hope because we're Oriole fans, and I get it, but they're in big trouble as it is. They get swept. I mean, just what else are you playing for here? Other than,
right,
you know, let's see what the young guys, to your point, can do. You know, you got Trevor Rogers has been brilliant, and that's something to look forward to next year, getting back to the Grayson Bradish Wells for the second half of the season. So I'm thinking let's start getting a peak at 26 later on here in 25. And then bid adieu to some guys that you've come to know and love here.
Right. The frustrating part that I just keep thinking about is if you completely get rid of the month of April, we're not having the same conversation, and that's the frustrating part, is that they're playing better baseball right now, but the fact that we dug our hole so deep that we're still talking about, you know, being out of it. So if you could just redo the season or just get rid of April, then I think, you know, we're in a different situation with the players that we have now. So, but yep, I'm already thinking of finding my schedule book for 26. And hopefully there's a lot of bobblehead and Hawaiian shirt giveaways, because that's the only thing bringing crowds in.
Yeah, they got weather giving away the yacht rock hat.
Well, Maceo brings some people to the stadium. All right,
thanks, Ryan. Yacht? You ever worn a yacht rock hat before?
Never heard.
It's like a skipper's hat, isn't it?
I think that, yeah, captain's hat.
Gotcha.
Well, skipper. But they are calling it. They're calling it a yacht rock cap. I don't understand that.
Well, yacht rock. But it's just the captain's hat. I'm going to assume means that people that like Jimmy Buffett on their yacht, because that's yacht rock, I would assume. If you like pina coladas getting caught in the rain, or the guy's actually trying to cheat on his wife, if you actually listen to the lyrics of the song, and it turned out to be his wife that he was talking to the whole time, and he giving you a little music lesson from the 70s. Yacht rock hat, not my scene, but if you love it, hey man, it's all about your personal preference, wants, and needs. Go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, what's up?
What's going on, Vinny and Bob?
How you doing, man?
Doing good, my man. Doing good. The rain stopped for a little while.
Yeah, finally.
Kind of a dual part, Bob. I'm certainly more with like quick draw. You know, like, I think we need to put these dudes in there and see what they got, you know, due to a depleted farm system, due to a failing roster as far as win wise. And to be honest with you, I think I'm putting these guys in there anyway because we didn't even win no games in the playoffs with one of the best teams in baseball. We ain't winning nothing with these teams. These dudes can't even get out of their own way. So I'm putting these dudes in there. I'm going to find out because now we do got to rebuild the team. You know what I mean? Like, this is a real rebuild now.
No, I don't think, Kevin, thanks for the call. I don't think it's a rebuild. It's a retool because if you look at the roster, controllable guys for multiple years, Adley, Basayo coming up, Westberg, Gunner, Holiday, Kowalczyk. I mean, you've got controllable guys. Dylan Beavers is on the way up to the major leagues here, among others. So there are certainly pieces, really strong, all-star pieces to build around. But it's going to be interesting to see what that starting rotation is going to look like, if healthy. And as Nolan pointed out, the bullpen outside of the mountain. What do we got here?
Right, I mean, it's not set in stone, but we were kind of theorizing that this is it for Sir Anthony Dominguez and Gregory Soto, whether they're traded or not. It's just probably the end of the road for them in Baltimore. I mean, maybe I could see them bringing back Dominguez, but just don't know if the price is going to be right. And Soto, it's a non-starter, at least if I was in charge.
You're done with him?
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't had a good season in like 4 years. I mean, if you're still holding out hope.
Hey, you know, hitting people and mascots. Right. I mean, I'm feeling you, but when you throw 98, 99 miles an hour, people think you can do stuff.
I understand the fascination.
Yeah.
But his days as an elite closer, let alone any back-end elite talent, is kind of over.
But don't you find it more fascinating? Well, maybe not if you look at it. With Baker, controllable years versus more proven commodities in Dominguez. Soto was an all-star at one point.
Well, I'm guessing
like Gold Gloves and, you know, all that nonsense we keep talking about.
I'm guessing is that they weren't interested in the others.
Yeah, well, we're going to get Baker, who's controllable, who's having a better year than Dominguez, who's going to walk at the end of the season. Yeah. And to your point either as well, before we get to another call real quick, I'm not against re-signing Dominguez if he'd be willing to take a team-friendly deal.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned Soto. Where's your lefty relief?
Well, it's Aiken, and that's about it.
And he's not. He just had an injection in his shoulder, so that ain't kind of happening anytime soon. But high leverage, big velo, because Aiken can give you multiple innings. Who's that guy that sets up Felix Bautista in the matchup situation?
Ideally, in my opinion, it would be Tyler Wells. I think the ship has sailed on him as a starter.
Okay.
And, I mean, he's shown that he can work out of the bullpen before in his career.
I'm talking, you need a lefty in there, Nolan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, he throws hard, and he can do multiple innings. Maybe he got two out of three.
Maybe he learned how to throw left-handed during his rehab. Do we have time for a call?
Do one more.
One more call. Let's go to Joe in Ellicott City. Joe, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Yeah, it's been a tough season, man. Just wanted to – now we're kind of getting into, you know, training players and our farm system and things like that. I think Elias should be on the hot seat next year. And just taking a step back, like, I remember when we were the number one farm system in baseball, and just looking at all the prospects, like, outside of Grayson, we didn't have any pitching prospects. So it was shallow, to be honest, when being number one. It was all position players. So, and he didn't even draft Grayson. So without prioritizing pitching, here we are. We have no pitching prospects. You can tell me about Brandon Young, McDermott, and Povich, but to be honest, I don't think much of any of them being top line starters.
Yeah, and Povich and McDermott came from other organizations. They didn't even draft them.
Yeah, so you got a guy who, you know, we're the quote unquote number one farm system in baseball with one elite pitching prospect. So to me, that's pretty shallow. So you got a GM who hasn't prioritized it in the farm system, who didn't go after anybody in the offseason. So, like, to me, it's kind of like you make your bed with him, man. Like, that's what he kind of did. Like, he hasn't prioritized it through the draft. He better this year, because if he doesn't, next year, if we have guys who are injured again, which, let's be honest, like, Grayson, that's just kind of what he does now, you know, we're going to be stuck with the same thing we have now. So, this, you know, to me, I put Elias on Elias and not planning ahead of time of things that were kind of going to happen in the recent future anyways. So,
hey, Joe, thanks for the call. D.L. Hall was a top 100 prospect, but he wasn't drafted by Elias either. That was another Dan Duquette guy now in Milwaukee. But as far as Elias being on the hot seat, Vinny, I think it's 100% certainty that he'll be on the hot seat next year.
I would say, Bob, that he's going to get – if he'll get the offseason and stuff, and if they start out bad, ain't the manager going.
Yep.
Can't be Elias it. Going.
None of this is on Brandon Hyde anymore.
Yeah.
The Hyder hook, well, he got the hook, but usually if the coach gets fired, then the GM's next.
Yes, you know? He is.
So Mike Elias, absolutely going to be on the hot seat. If you're on the phones, hang tight. Just tuning in, Orioles doubleheader against the Mets. Brian Baker traded to the Tampa Bay Rays. And to our last caller's point, 19, 30, 31, and 37. Those are the picks they have. I'm going half pitchers, right?
I may even go more.
Yeah, I mean, it one better be a college guy that could help you relatively soon, and then maybe a high school dude. Hey, remember, Tarek Skubal, ninth round draft pick at 12:05. We'll keep you up to date on the score of that one, give you the lineup a couple more times before first pitch. And Brian Baker was traded to the Tampa Bay Rays for a competitive balance pick, which was number 37. Let's get out to the phones. Go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, thanks for holding. What is up?
No problem, man, because you had another good caller call in. He had the same name I did. Wait, from Ellicott City? Man, he said a lot of things I think about, but you don't get much time to say it. You only get like 30 seconds on here. So
30
let me
seconds?
Start.
Dude, you get on here for 4 minutes. What are you talking about? You're so popular. You got people addressing you at like the food line or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, man. It's people I learned in my church just by calling you, and I ain't never know. We hold like 1,200 people. But anyway, I was telling Quick Draw, man, you love a game where the hitters hit, the fielders field, the pitchers pitch. But you want to shoot somebody. No, I take that back. You want to throw up when the manager don't manage. Now, I know they made that rule. You got to face three batters. But be observant. You know when somebody ain't got it. And when he went past that third batter two days ago, I was going ballistic. I was cussing and fussing and yelling and screaming, saying, he ain't got it. He ain't got it. Get him out of there. And you see what happened. And that always happens when somebody doesn't get pulled, when they get pulled. So I put the blame of losing that game on the manager. Because, like I said, hitters at the hit, fielders at the field, pitchers at the pitch. But the manager got to manage, man. That's all I wanted to say about that game because I just don't know, Bob. If the manager
they just traded your boy Baker. But yeah.
I already know that.
And we were talking yesterday, Joe. To your point, all right, he gives up the homer to Soto, or not Soto, Lindor. Get somebody warming up in the bullpen. He didn't even have anybody warming up, and that's when things got out of control. And then you know the hanging slider that Alonso hit. And what did Manzolino say? Well, it was a good pitch. Yeah. No, it wasn't. It's something that Alonso would see in the home run derby every week. And he rocked that thing. But they didn't have anybody warming up. So, yeah, we were with you 100% on that one.
But what I'm saying, Bob, I'm telling you right now, after you done seen so much baseball, you done seen the good, bad, and ugly. So you should know what to do. I'm talking about me and you, Bob.
Sure.
We would have known to get somebody up when he don't look right. And I'm like this. Maybe his fingernails was too long or he didn't clip them and the ball was going every which way. Because I know some people who pitch, they dig their fingernail to the ball and they give it an extra spin or whatever they call it. But I'm saying, man, that's what I'm saying. When the manager knows how to manage, he can manage the worst team in baseball. We've seen it. Y'all take it easy, brothers.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call. By the way, you got 2 minutes and 34 seconds. So hopefully that was appropriate enough for you. But to his point, we were talking about yesterday after the loss that Manzolino may have waited a little bit too long for a guy that has been very reliable for them this year. And sometimes, Vinny, and you know, you played sports and you coached and you know, you were an executive, you know, hey, I'm going to still have confidence in this guy. But also, you could probably pick up on not happening today.
I Yeah, especially Bob when at that time there was a lot of hard contact.
Oh yeah.
You know, the worst contact was Soto's single, you know. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, because you got to win that game. All right. I give him two home run, bam, out. You know,
at least get somebody warming up in the bullpen, which he didn't have. And we talked Baker, hey, he threw 15 pitches, 11 strikes.
Yeah.
That's great. Those 11 strikes were not striking people out. They were being wood put on them. So anyway, Brian Baker's gone, though. We can't rag on him. And hey, tip of the cap to Brian Baker. We look at him, I will, fondly, as an Oriole. Now he goes from last place to a team that would be in the playoffs if the season started today, the Tampa Bay Rays. Now the onus is on Mike Elias to turn that 37th pick into something we'll be talking about in a couple of years. Speaking of picks and prospects and all that good stuff, Tony Penti, OrielsHangout.com. Preview the draft with him. Talk about the latest Oriole to get into the top 100 prospect list. Guy came out of nowhere because he's barely alive. At 18 years old, the whip around 11:15. What happened in the world of sports last night and historically. Stick around. And Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, will talk about the Mets-Birds game two of this three-game series. Doubleheader coming up today. Got Tomo Sugano pitching the nightcap. Confidence level low?